There's a first piece of scripture this morning, and I was so grateful for Lynn's prayer, because this comes from chapter 37 of Ezekiel. It's the first 14 verses, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. I felt the powerful presence of the Lord, and His Spirit took me and set me down in a valley where the ground was covered with bones. He led me all around the valley, and I could see that there were very many bones, and that they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal man, can these bones come back to life?" I replied, "Sovereign Lord, only you can answer that." He said, "Prophesy to the bones. Tell these dry bones to listen to the word of the Lord. Tell them that I, the sovereign Lord, am saying to them, I am going to put breath into you and bring you back to life. I will give you sinews and muscles and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and bring you back to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been told. While I was speaking, I heard a rattling noise, and the bones began to join together. While I watched, the bones were covered with sinews and muscles and then with skin, but there was no breath in the bodies. God said to me, "Mortal man, prophesy to the wind. Tell the wind that the sovereign Lord commands it to come from every direction to breathe into these dead bodies and to bring them back to life." So I prophesied as I had been told. Breath entered the bodies, and they came to life and stood up. There were enough of them to form an army. God said to me, "Mortal man, the people of Israel are like these bones. They say that they are dried up, without any hope and with no future. So prophesy to my people Israel and tell them that I, the sovereign Lord, am going to open their graves. I am going to take them out and bring them back to the land of Israel. When I open the graves where my people are buried and bring them out, they will know that I am the Lord. I will put my breath into them, bring them back to life, and let them live in their own land. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I have promised that I would do this, and I will. I, the Lord, have spoken." Would you stand? We'll sing together. It's hymn number 420, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." may be seated. More scripture this morning. This is wonderful words from the Gospel of John. It's in chapter 11. We're going to do two short pieces of it, 1 through 16, and then we'll pick up with 38 to 45. A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, became sick. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. The sister sent Jesus a message, "Lord, your dear friend is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "The final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he received the news that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "Teacher," the disciples answered, "just a short time ago the people there wanted to stone you, and are you planning to go back?" Jesus said, "A day has 12 hours, doesn't it? So those who walk in broad daylight do not stumble, for they see the light of this world. But if they walk during the night, they stumble because they have no light." Jesus said this and then added, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him up." The disciples answered, "If he is asleep, Lord, he'll get better. He will get well." Jesus meant that Lazarus had died, but they thought he meant natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. But for your sake, I am glad that I was not with him, so that you will believe. Let us go to him." Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us all go along with the teacher so that we may die with him." And then we slip over to verse 38. Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance. "Take the stone away," Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, "There will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?" They took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, "I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me." After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." He came out, his hands and feet wrapped in grave cloths, and with a cloth around his face. "Untie him," Jesus told them, "and let him go." Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Let's pray. Lord, would you speak to us through the story of Lazarus, a dead man, that by your power through your Son came back to life. In Jesus' name, amen. Rick Kinchy introduced me to a musical artist this past summer up at the mission camp in Rhinelander. A guy by the name of Jonathan Tulin, I think is how he pronounces it. There were a couple of videos. They touched me so much, they really spoke such wonderful truth that I have them in my on my phone now, in my music. I downloaded them from iTunes because I don't want to miss them. There's one of the songs that is in particular has spoken to me all this time, but now especially during our time of Lent. It's called "The Dead Come to Life." There's a lyric in there that goes like this. It's, "Only with you the dead come to life. Dead come to life." And of course the "you" in the song is Jesus. Now the song, I think, points to our spiritual lives. Because you see, until we know Him, until we believe in Him, we walk around spiritually dead. I know that's hard to think about. But if you'll just pray about that and ponder that, you'll understand. But in the Lord Jesus, in the joy of knowing Him, in the joy of knowing not only who He is, but what He does, and you and I, by our faith, we can know Jesus as Savior. We can know the joy of living past the time of our bodies. We can live in eternity. Now, Jonathan's song is about the spiritual things. But our story today is about death and life, but it's about very physical things. And this man Lazarus, he'd been dead. He was in the grave for 4 days. But Jesus is going to take care of that. His friend Jesus is going to take care of that. You and I, in our modern age, we struggle with this business of the grave, don't we? Oh, we understand some about death. We don't understand it at all. And throughout history, we associate the whole business of death and burial and the sites where people are buried with a certain amount of superstition, certainly some mystery. And that is true of all modern Western societies. In some ways, you see, we live in denial of death. It was only, 100 years maybe, 150 years ago that people passed away in their homes regularly. And people would be able to see that. But now we don't do that so much anymore. Our culture uses the wonderful compassion and skills of professional funeral directors to care for the details of our bodies when they just stop working. And we are so grateful for their kindness in such a difficult time for us. And while that is a good and wonderful thing, it also insulates us. In some ways, from the realities of dying, it insulates us from coming to grips with a part of our life. You see, when we attend a visitation, when we go to a funeral, we're confronted with our own personal fate, are we not? And we wouldn't so much want to look at that directly. Well, the story of Lazarus speaks to that. Oh, the sorrow, yes. But speaks to a miracle. In his case, physical life. In Jesus, even in death, there is life. The story of Lazarus, we recognize the sorrow that's rooted in the hearts of the people that know Lazarus. You see, Lazarus is their friend. He has died. He died from an illness that should have been cured, but it didn't happen. And the grave of Lazarus is a reminder of every grave that you and I have ever visited, and it's a parable of the grave that someday will be our own. But the good news for you this morning, the wonderful news, is that Christ has defeated death. He's defeated the grave. And in his resurrection, we find that assurance of eternal life. And we're more mindful of it during this time of Lent and Easter. But this should give us joy every day. Now, sometimes in the Bible, we get confused with the names, don't we? You know, there were many people in Jesus' day that were named Jesus. So you gotta know which one you're talking about. In Lazarus' case, there's another pretty notable Lazarus. A different one, but we find him in Luke 16, and there's a certain amount of connection to all of this. And you'll remember, this is the Lazarus in Luke that was the beggar. He was at the gate of the rich man's house. He was in terrible shape. His life in his physical body really wasn't good at all. The rich man, of course, had everything. And then they both died. And the beggar goes to be with Abraham. That's an illustration of going to heaven, to be cared for all the things that he missed in this life he was going to gain in the life to come. And the rich man, he went to hell. The rich man pleads with Abraham. You know, can't you just get Lazarus to come and just a little drop of water for my tongue? It's so uncomfortable. And Abraham didn't bother with that. And then finally the rich man says, you know, Father Abraham, can you send Lazarus back to my brothers? If he goes there and tells them, they'll understand that there's trouble for them in the afterlife if they don't pay attention. And then the great scripture of Abraham's answer is there. Abraham replied, speaking about the brothers, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." And the rich man knew his brothers weren't listening. He knew he hadn't listened. And so he says to Abraham, he says, "Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And Abraham replied this, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." You see, according to Jesus, even a resurrection miracle will not be sufficient for some people to persuade them of the power and the reality of God. This is very apparent in what we read today, because there would have been many people at the tomb of Lazarus when Jesus came to bring him back to life. They would have watched, they would have seen it. And yet, even in the face of that amazing miracle, not everyone believed in Jesus. You see, miracles alone cannot rouse faith. Signs alone cannot transform lives. Oh, they're powerful, they're wonderful. But by themselves, for some people, they don't get it done. Remember what Abraham said? They will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Theologian Gary Burge writes this about this piece of scripture that we read today about Jesus raising Lazarus. He says, "A sheer experience of the power of God is insufficient to persuade the human heart. It is incomprehensible, easily misunderstood, fleeting. And if it does become the basis of faith, the event itself becomes the object of faith rather than the one who has worked such a mighty deed. Therefore, in the activity of the church, words must accompany deeds. Jesus didn't hesitate to perform this miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus was accused of delaying his getting to Lazarus. He was accused of, if you would have just hurried up and got here, you could have healed Lazarus before he ever died. But you know something? Jesus' timing was perfect, was it not? He was there to help the people to see the incomparably great power of God, to be able to call a man off of literally his grave, to call him out of his grave to be alive again. Twice now, a friend of mine has undergone life-threatening surgeries. And each time I met with him the morning of those surgeries, and we prayed together, he and his wife and I and some from his family, he looked at me and he says, "Don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. Either I will see you tomorrow, or else I'm going on the greatest adventure of my life." He knew Jesus. He knew of Christ's power. He knew Jesus' ability to watch over him in the surgery, but he also knew that if it was his time, he knew that Jesus would be waiting for him. By the way, my friend is still with us, and it's a great joy. If you ever want to be convinced about heaven, I'll call him and we can get together for coffee. I'll let him do the talking. And I think you'll believe. As Christians, we have a confidence over the grave that has no part of our own power. No part of our own really understanding. You see, as Christians, we know where the power is. It's in the person of Jesus. And just like Lazarus, we don't have to have a dread for death, my friends. Now, you have to understand, though, that the resurrection of Lazarus on that day didn't mean that he lived forever. If he would have, it would have been recorded in Scripture. There was going to be a time in the future when Lazarus would be lying on his deathbed again. But this time, it would have been after the resurrection of his friend Jesus from his grave. And he would know. He would know, and he could lay there on his deathbed, literally looking death in the eye, and he wouldn't have to blink, would he? Because he knew that Jesus was resurrection and life, and so that even though he was going to die again, he wasn't going to go to the grave alone. When tourists go to Jerusalem, one of the very important places that they usually want to see is the church that commemorates Jesus' burial and his resurrection. If you look it up in the guidebooks, they call it the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And the Arabs and the Jews that live there are very used to Christian pilgrims coming, and so if they see somebody wandering around the Christian quarter and they kind of look like they're lost, they'll come up to you and they'll point you in the right direction to get to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. But in the churches of Jerusalem, the ancient churches, they had a much different name for this place. For countless centuries, Arab Christians have known the place as the Church of the Resurrection, because they recall it as the place of the resurrection, not the tomb, not the grave of Jesus. As a matter of fact, in Arabic, if you read the Arabic guides for the city of Jerusalem and the high places, you won't find anything in there for the Church of Jesus' tomb. What you will find in there is, this is the Church of Jesus' resurrection. It's a place of victory. It's a place of life. It's not a place of sorrow. It's not a place of defeat. You and I have read the book, the wonderful Bible. We know that Jesus died for the people. We also know that Jesus rose again. He is the resurrection. He is life. Death has been completely defeated once and for all. That day with Lazarus, he defeated death in front of a crowd. Did you get him? Did you? That's all right. In Jesus' name. If he comes back to life, never mind. We better get back to this business. Oh, Lord. You know, if church is not fun, we're missing something in the kingdom. We really are. We really are. On Easter morning, we'll celebrate this time of another resurrection. It wasn't in front of a big crowd. Depending on which story you read in the synoptic gospels, it was a small group of people that knew he had risen from the grave. But the power of that just shows us that Jesus embraced death fully, and then he triumphed over the grave. It's times like this when I wish I was Pentecostal, because then everybody would be shouting hallelujah. This is a piece from Paul. It's from 1 Corinthians 15:21. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Through Jesus. But I want to speak to funerals just for a moment, to put a caution in here. As believers, sometimes we get carried away with our understanding of the resurrection and the new life in Christ for all of eternity, and then we feel guilty about grieving at a funeral. You know, Jesus grieved for Lazarus. It says he wept. And so grieving is a normal part of who we are in the human. And I want to speak a word of freedom, so that when you go to someone's funeral, when you go to the grave of one of your loved ones, and your heart catches and your breath catches and a tear comes to your eyes, I want you to know it's okay. As believers in life eternal, it's okay to come to grips with that sadness. Grief is real. And to grieve is simply being human. That's how we come to the understanding of the things that is pointed out in the scripture today. When Lazarus got sick, Mary and Martha knew to call Jesus, didn't they? They asked him to come, and Jesus didn't drop everything that he was doing to get there. If you carefully read the scriptures, it took a day for the message to get to Jesus. Jesus waited 2 days, and then it took a day for Jesus to get back. That's 4 days. And Lazarus was in the grave how many days? 4. Lazarus would have died shortly after the messenger left town. And all that Jesus had to do when he got there, all he had to do was tell people, just believe. And then he commanded Lazarus, come out. He commanded the dead to come back to life. And he's still doing that in our day. Should you and I still be around when Jesus comes again? We'll be able to see that with our own eyes, I believe. Go and read Thessalonians. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Should we pass away, our physical bodies expire, before Jesus comes again, he will be waiting for us. The grave holds no power, my friends. We talk about Lazarus today. We will celebrate in just a couple of weeks another death and another resurrection. The grave holds no power. They cannot be easily overcome by the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Lazarus came out, he was all wrapped up in linen. That was the custom of that day. And so there was a need for others to go and unwrap his grave cloths because they were binding him. They were keeping him from living life to the full. I want you to know this morning that you and I, as believers in Jesus, have privilege to help other people release their grave clothes even before they die so that they can have life too. And we can do it in the name of Jesus. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, a miracle, yes. Not too hard for you. Help us to believe in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.